This is Dr. Max Schultz, pastor of the Heritage Baptist Bible Church in Walnut Grove, Minnesota. It is our privilege to be with you now for this half hour, and we hope that you have your Bibles out and you're ready to follow along, because that's the only way that we learn the Word of God is to give it out and you take it in. We'll be back in just a moment. It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at the same time, and we count it our privilege to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. If you have your Bibles, will you please turn with us as we continue our Bible study now concerning the subject of speaking in tongues as found in 1 Corinthians here, chapter 13. While you're over here, if you'll notice, if you will, in verse 8, now we'll continue on from where we left off last week. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Now, we're going into a little bit of an explanation here, into the Greek, because it is imperative for you to understand the strength of the Greek words when we're speaking about the word perfect and tongue shall cease. Cease is the Greek verb paio, P-A-U-O, and it means to cease or to stop completely. Now, this is something in the Greek language that's important to know, and that's the reason that you study these things when you're a pastor and that you know them. It is used in the perfect tense. That's something that needs to be understood. It means that when tongues do cease, the action of ceasing will never be interrupted, but will continue forever. In plain words, when tongues cease, they will never be reactivated again at any time in the future. The act of ceasing will remain perfect without interpretation for eternity. We might also add that the Greek word paio, P-A-U-O, for cease is also in the Greek middle voice, and that is denoting emphasis. Other words, in the most emphatic statement in this verse is, tongue shall cease, and we'll find out here in just a moment when. Now we come on over and come down here, if you will, to verse 10, and we'll continue here. The key word in this verse here is the word perfect. Now let's notice and read it together, if you will. In verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The key word, as we've said in this verse, is the word perfect. Now, those that endorse tongues today say that it is referring to Christ's coming. If that were true, then knowledge, prophecy, and tongues would be manifested until he comes. If, on the other hand, perfect is referring to the written word of God, then what they claim as tongues today must be a counterfeit spirit working and not the Holy Spirit. Now, let's take just a little bit of a check into this, and we're going to amplify on it a little bit. The word perfect is the Greek word teleion, T-E-L-E-I-O-N, and it means complete. Here are the simple facts to consider that we would like for you to know. H.K. Barrett translates the word perfect, totality. That's a good translation. The noted Greek scholar, and every pastor, every layman should know this man. He's one of the greatest that there was. A.T. Robertson defines it as full-grown and mature. Dr. Gromacki from Cedarville College says the word perfect, or teleion, does refer to the end of a process or development. Keep that in mind. That's the meaning of the Greek word. The second coming of Christ is not a process. It is an instantaneous event. Since the second coming of Christ is an instantaneous event, the word perfect cannot be referring to Christ, because perfect definitely has reference to the end of a process or the development of something. The something, of course, is the Word of God. Unquote, Dr. Gromacki. He goes on and further says that the word perfect in the Greek is never used in the New Testament to depict, first of all, the second coming of Christ. This word is never, under any circumstances, in the Greek. This is how Pentecostalism can shower you with this kind of deception, because either if they know the Greek, they refuse to accept it and to endorse their feelings, or they just plain do not know it. But it is never used in the New Testament concerning the second coming of Christ. It is never used in the New Testament in reference to the millennium. and it is never used in the New Testament or ever has to do with anything in the eternal state. Now, the word perfect, teleion, as we have said, is an adjective which is here used as a noun. In the Greek, it is found in the neuter gender. The Greek expresses the neuter, the feminine, and the masculine genders, depending on who or what it is referring to. If perfect was referring to a person, it would be found in the feminine or the masculine gender. Since it is in the neuter gender, it is referring not to a person, but an object, which is the completed Word of God. Much more could be stated concerning the words perfect and in part. However, I feel if these simple facts are not conclusive enough, then much more that could be said would make no difference to those who refuse to accept the truth. You see, the Apostle Paul put it bluntly and simply as it could be stated when he said, "If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant," in 1 Corinthians 14:38. And we find out that Paul wrote this after concluding chapters 12 through 14. In other words, Paul says, "I've written unto you the commandments of the Lord concerning tongues. Therefore, if you will not accept it, you will just have to remain deceived or ignorant," as we find in verse 37 of the 14th chapter. Now, we come down here to verse 11, and let's read that together, if you will. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Then we're going to read the other two verses here and then discuss them. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abide of faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Now, first of all, we want to examine here, and we've put this, or we might set it forth like this. This is the first illustration we want to give of in part and perfect, a child to an adult. Now, the contextual reference is this. Just as it takes time for a child to reach completion or adulthood, so God, in time, gave us his completed word. Just as the church age was a mystery to Israel, and we find that in Ephesians 3:5, "which in other ages it was not made known unto the sons of man as it is now revealed," so was God's completed word to mankind. Child is to impart God's word as the adult is to the completed word of God. When Christ spoke in John 16:12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now," this would be applicable to the child and to impart. When John spoke in Revelation 22:18, "If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book," this then would be applicable unto perfect or the completed Word of God. Now, the spiritual reference. Some of the characteristics of a child are, he pouts, he cries, because of little things, he must have his own way, he throws temper tantrums, he seeks attention always, and he needs constant care and so forth. How characteristic of some Christians. The length one has been a Christian does not necessarily represent their growth. One Christian can grow spiritually in 1 year more than one who's been a Christian for 5 years. In Corinth, you see, they were seeking the gift of tongues, which they thought reflected their spirituality, instead of coveting earnestly the best gift that God had given them. The practical lesson would be, are we desiring some spiritual gift or office in order to impress others as to how spiritual we are? Are we acting like children and pouting when we do not get our own way? Are we always crying about little things and losing our temper over, or always seeking attention? You see, Paul's telling the Corinthians that it is time to put away those things of a child and to grow up and to be a mature adult in the Lord. Let me ask you this, where would you place yourself spiritually as a Christian? As an adolescent? As a middle-aged? Or as an adult child of God? You see, as the Word of God was completely given, so we should grow to be complete in Him. Now, in verse 12, we find out we have the second illustration of in part and perfect, where we have the comparison of the mirror to the clear view. Now, the word glass no doubt has reference to the mirrors that were used in those days. The mirrors were of polished metallic surfaces, which reflected objects, but imperfectly. Since the figures seemed to be behind the mirror, the observer seemed to see through it. Now, since the glass of the mirror was used metaphorically of the incompleted Word of God, that is, we could not see the absolute clear view of things until God's Word was given in its entirety. Since glass is contrasted to face-to-face, then face-to-face must also be metaphorically in reference to the completion of God's Word. You see, as one would watch an artist begin to draw a picture of a man, it would first be viewed as incomplete in reference to the mirror. But as one stands and watches the artist, he finishes the drawing of the man, you are now standing face-to-face with the completed picture. As we stand today, we can look face-to-face at God's completed picture of this world because we are looking at it through God's completed Word, the Bible. And then in verse 9, in part, is a reference to God's Word. In verse 10, perfect is referring to also God's Word. It would then be a gross contextual error to apply face-to-face to Christ instead of God's completed picture as viewed through His completed Word. Let me say this, let us be as honest with the context here as we are with the rest of the Word of God. Then we come to verse 12, a third illustration of in part and perfect, shall know as I am known. Now, I know in part is the same as spoken of in verse 9. We know in part and we prophesy in part. That is, the incomplete Word of God. In other words, I know only part of God's Word that has been revealed thus far. But then, notice, it says, is future tense and contrasted to now I know, which is present tense. Since now I know in part is referring to God's Word, but then is also referring to God's Word at the time it would be completed. When the Bible was completed, one could then know as completely about God as the Bible revealed Him to us. Just as completely as God knew us, we may know Him as completely from the revelation of Himself to us through His Word. Just as God created me physically, He recreated me spiritually by the new birth. May I learn of Him and love Him as His child as much as He loved me while I was yet a sinner. And we might say, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You see, as God has fully revealed Himself to me through His Word, may I fully give myself to Him in this world. And then in verse 13, we have here faith in Christ, hope for the future, but the greatest thing that we can do is extend the love of God to others as God has given to us. If you are saved, you have God's love within you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And the greatest thing you can do is to tell someone else what Christ did for you. If you possess this kind of love, that's the charity spoken of in this chapter here, the greatest of all, you then can say as Paul in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to also the Greek. Now, we are not going to continue into chapter 14 on this particular broadcast here because we want to keep it separate for the tapes and that and start on it separately. But we might say this concerning this on the 13th chapter. It is either a matter of face-to-face with what the teaching of God's Word says concerning tongues or a outright denial that God's Word is a liar. Now, those of you that have spoken in tongues, I might say this emphatically, I have known many who have spoken in tongues, and I have known many who have searched the Scriptures and have come out of it, not being deceived anymore, and taken the Word of God and said, either to Satan or allowing yourself psychologically to work yourself up into a frenzy and to speak things, Satan will control you, he will use you, he will speak through you if you open yourself up. And the most dangerous thing that you can ever do is to say, Lord, if tongues are for today, then I'm opening myself up. No, you are praying ignorantly because God's Word says in this particular chapter that when that which is complete, when the totality of God's Word has come and been completed, then that which we know in part shall be done away with. And that means cease. Tongues shall cease, and again we say, it is in the tense where when it ceases, it shall never, it is in the perfect tense, it will never be reactivated again. We say emphatically, and I get so tired of hearing Pentecostals say this as a threat, and they do it. Well now, sir, you know, you could be blaspheming the Holy Spirit. No, my answer is you are blaspheming the Word of God by seeking something God has said would end with the completion of His written Word here with the book of Revelation. No, I am not scared off by tactics of being accused of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I say this to you. I have the Word of God that tells me tongues have ceased with God's completed Word. you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit by refusing to listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that tongues have ceased. No, we do not get scared at that kind of false accusation. But what is scary is the fact that you'll take an emotion, you'll take a deception, and you'll take it over the Word of God. I'll never forget that I was up in the Tonawanda Indian Reservation, and I think I've stated this on some previous broadcasts. And anyway, the church up there that I was preaching in, the man is an Indian, and he went down to a trucker's meeting, took me down there, and we sat there, and the minute the man got up to speak, the phraseologies that he used and referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in an unscriptural manner, I told him, sitting beside me there, I said, this man is a tongues man 100%. And he said, well, I don't think so. I was not led to believe that he was. So I asked him afterwards that he got through spoken right before we ate there. We went up to the table there, and he introduced me to him, and I asked him, I said, do you believe in the speaking of tongues today? And the first thing he said was, well, I don't want to discuss it. It's not important. And I said, well, it is important. And if it's in the Bible, it's important. And if you endorse it, you should not be ashamed of it. And so I want to endorse it. Do you speak in tongues? But he didn't want to have any. He didn't want to talk about it because he knew that there were other people there that did not know that he was affiliated with tongues. And he was trying to deceive them and not make it an issue now at all whatsoever. But I did make it an issue. While I was talking with him, a lady came up and stood beside him on the other side of the table. And I had my Bible, and I laid it on the table, and I said, sir, I just would like to give you a verse, because this is something you're going to have to face. And I said, I've never spoken in tongues. I do not want them, because God's Word said they have ceased. But I want to say this. I want to show you the verse. She took her hand. The lady said, I've spoken in tongues. I have had the experience, and I do not care what the Bible says. I'm going to take my experience, and put her hand down and shove my Bible almost off of the table. Now, folks, I want to tell you this. The most deceiving thing in the world is a satanic, listen to me now, if you will, deception by your feelings, and Satan can counterfeit and loves to do it, the Holy Spirit. I hope that if you're listening and you've spoken in tongues, we have had one of our youth directors had been involved in tongues, was led into it, and then it left him empty after a while. And then everything was unscriptural to get it, the begging, the seeking, the opening yourself up and everything else. And we find out here when they spoke in Acts, they never had to do that. It came instantaneously. There was no begging. There was no seeking. There was no nothing. And yet tongues people put people in agony trying to make them seek it. I'll coach you. I'll tell you the first things to say. I'll tell you how to do it. Well, none of that is in the Bible. None of those that spoke in tongues before the book of Revelation ever had any of that kind of coaching. And if it's of the Holy Spirit, you don't need coached by man, then the Holy Spirit will give it to you if it is the same today as it was then. But, folks, it is not. It's the greatest counterfeit that Satan has ever used and had to deceive men and women. The greatest thing in all the world is that I have the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have Him. I need no more. And what about you? And I have found this. Now, we say many times, you know, they are advocates of tongues and so forth, but you know what? We are to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to preach the new birth, and I want to emphasize this again because it's something that needs to be realized. Only with one exception in 15 years have I ever found a tongues person who believed that you could not lose your salvation. They all believe you lose your salvation. One false doctrine of Satan can get in with tongues. He'll then try to lead you to believe, because remember this, carrying along with the speaking in tongues is an attitude of a closeness with God. Oh, I feel so good. And then you're deceived. Well, of course, this couldn't be Satan. Of course not. Well, it is. And the Word of God refutes it. And then you get the feeling like, you know what? I don't really need to study my Bible, and I've found this to be true. Many of the people that I've talked to with tongues, when you go to the Bible, do not have any conception that things are in there concerning tongues. They have extracted one or two verses in order to fit their speaking in tongues, They have had that drilled into their minds, and they have never read the whole chapter in context for themselves. I have found that probably 99 times out of 100. Well, I see that our time's gone this morning. I'm only bringing these messages here to you. These are those that are counteracting the false spirit. We're bringing them to you by the Holy Spirit, that you have some solid ground to put your feet upon. You don't need emotionally to be upset. You'll be emotionally left empty when tongues get through with you. But if you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, get active in your church, establish a prayer life, pray to the Lord for your needs, witnessing for others and bringing others to Christ, you'll find a fullness in your life that can never be counterfeited by a counterfeit satanic spirit.
If you're listening today and you do not know that you have eternal life, you're not absolutely sure that you're going to heaven when you die, then here's how simple that it is. God has concluded we all have sinned, that you and I. God has also said that he loves the sinner. And we find out in Romans 5:8, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then in John 3:16, God loved the world. He loves you. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. If you realize you're a sinner and Christ is a wonderful Savior, and he died on that cross to save you from spending eternity in hell so you could have a home in heaven with him, he bought your right to live with him for all time and eternity. All he asked you to do is believe the record God gave of his Son, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, we hope that you'll take time to write us. We'd love to hear from you. If you're in the area of Walnut Grove, we'd love to have you come to church. Our morning worship service begins at 10, from 10 to 11. Love to invite you to our services. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180.
Remember our website again. It is www.heritagebbc.com.
Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.